Morning.
Morning.
It is great to be here with you this morning. It's great just to be together. Amen.
Amen.
And all of our visitors, we got lots of folks here visiting with us today, and we're glad you're here. And if you didn't know it, you came on a special day because we're having a graduation party. We like having parties around here. But we're having a graduation party for our three graduates, and along with that party comes lots of food. Any excuse we have here to eat, we take advantage of. Okay? And so if you didn't know we were doing that, don't worry about it. Plan to stay and share in some food and fellowship fun with us afterwards, after we finish our service. Everybody do like this. So, you know, that should give you the incentive that you want to stay. As long as it takes for me to preach this morning, you want to stay because you smell that good food. We have been we've been focusing on prayer, and really the emphasis that we have been making has been really working at trying to build this church family into a house of prayer to the Lord. That's what our goal is. And so we've been studying and focusing on a lot of different aspects of prayer throughout this study. And most recently, we've been focusing on some strongholds, and it's, you know, breaking down some of the strongholds or the things that Satan uses against us and using prayer to be able to do that. Just to give you a little bit of a program note as to where we're going, we're going to deviate a little bit from that this morning. We're going to talk about posture in prayer, and I'll explain that in just a few minutes. But next week we're going to come back and talk about one of the strongholds that we'll be studying, and then the following week is Vacation Bible School, and so we're going to be talking then about making war on the floor, which is the theme of our Vacation Bible School. The first Sunday in July, which is the third, we're going to be focusing on praying for freedom. Okay? And then the following two Sundays, the 10th and the 17th, I'm going to be gone. Cindy and I are going to take some vacation time. Dale and Ted are going to be filling in for me. When I get back, then we're going to start again, pick up where we left off and talking about strongholds. Okay, so that's just kind of a brief synopsis of where we're going in this study. But our focus and our emphasis in all of these things is on prayer. Ran across an article the other day that really fits into what we've been talking about, prayer and how important prayer is. This is supposed to be a true story. Okay, Mount Vernon, Texas beer joint sues a local church over a lightning strike. Drummond's Bar began construction on an expansion of their building to increase their business. In response, the local Baptist church started a campaign to block the bar from expanding with petitions and prayers. Work progressed right up until the week before the grand opening, when lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. After the bar burned to the ground by the lightning strike, the church folk were rather smug in their outlook, bragging about the power of prayer. Until the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was, quote, ultimately responsible for the demise of his building, either through direct or indirect actions or means. In its reply to the court, the church vehemently denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise. The judge read through the plaintiff's complaint and the defendant's reply. And at the opening hearing, he commented, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that now does not." Okay, so keep that in mind as you continue to pray. As we've talked about and learned, we never know how God's going to answer our prayers, do we? You see? And but you know, this morning, I want to talk about, like I said, we're going to deviate a little bit from the strongholds. Let's talk about posture in prayer, okay? And I want to start, just get you to think about this for a moment. Is posture really important when we pray? And I want to suggest to you that insofar as it reflects what is on our hearts and our minds, then it is. When we're talking about posture, we're talking about, you know, standing, sitting, kneeling, you know, whatever it is that we're doing physically when we're praying. Is that really important? Okay. Why do we need to talk about this? Well, because worship is not a spectator sport. Okay? If it were, then we'd have somebody at the door selling tickets, okay? And you guys would be paying premium prices for the seats up front, so you'd be able to see all the action as closely as possible. You see, you wouldn't be paying for the cheap seats in the back, okay? If it were a spectator sport, but it's not. You see? Worship is intended to be an all participatory gathering of those who worship God. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we think about and focus on this idea of our posture in prayer. You see, the elders have been discussing this a little bit, and it kind of occurred to us that perhaps maybe we have become too complacent in our worship of God. From the standpoint of saying that basically what we do is exactly what you're doing right now. We just sit here. See? And we watch what's happening. Perhaps maybe a focus on our posture in prayer, you see, and in worship altogether will cause us to think a little bit more about what we are doing when we gather here and why. Just to kind of shake us up. And understand something. We're not trying to make rules, you know, and say, okay, from now on, this is the law. That's not the point. The point is to shake us up. Get us thinking about what we're doing a little bit more. You see? So that it has more meaning to us. Rather than us just coming and, you know, doing our thing for an hour or an hour and 15, 20 minutes, however long I preach, and then we go on about our business. Are we really thinking about what we're doing and why? And then again, when we're in this worship time together, how important is it in the message that we are sending to God as we worship based on our posture? That's what I want to focus on for a little bit this morning. You know, most of the time in our worship time, we sit during our prayers. We sit during scripture reading. We sit during most of our songs. Occasionally, the song leader will say, everybody stand and let's sing this song. But most of the time, we sit. You see? But even stop and think for just a minute about some of the songs that we sing. You see? And we mostly sing them sitting down, like On Bended Knee I Bow. And we sing that sitting down. Well, I guess somebody could say, well, our knees are bent under the pew, right? You see? If you look at the song I Love You, Lord, it's number 779 in our songbook. That song in our songbook, the blue one, only has one verse. Okay? I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice to worship you. In the green book, we have the whole song in there. It's got four verses. The second verse is, I love you, Lord, and I lift up my hands as my soul demands. Okay? We don't typically sing the song from the green book because we get real uncomfortable when we talk about lifting up hands. We'll talk more about that in a few moments. But I want us to think about what we're doing, when we're doing things, and what we're saying Because in those songs and in our prayers, we're worshiping God. And what we're doing is reflecting, again, what's on our heart and on our mind as we are doing that. So let's talk about the first thing here. Look in your notes there. Understanding standing. Okay? The idea of standing, when we have a scripture reading or we have a prayer, we stand together. That's something we said, well, let's do that. Let's try to get people thinking about that a little bit. Well, we need to understand, what is it about standing that's so important? Is it just to get the blood flowing? No, it's more than that. Say, because there are some important messages about standing. Really, for our purposes, there's two applications of the idea or concept of standing. The first one is the idea of our position or condition relative to a situation. Okay? In other words, we might refer to someone as having being a member in good standing of this organization or that group or club or whatever it might be. Or we may, some of our songs, we stand in awe of you, or I stand amazed in the presence. Doesn't necessarily mean always that we are physically standing on our feet, but it's talking about that position or condition mostly of our thinking, of our mind, okay? But then there's the other purpose or use of it is the physically standing part. Okay? And one of the things that we need to understand about that is that throughout history, standing has always been a form of showing respect to someone. For instance, when a judge enters a courtroom, what happens? Now, why do y'all know that? everybody stands, right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The bailiff says, all rise, because the judge is in authority, right? And when a person of authority walks in, it's just a sign of respect that everybody stands. Seth, what happens when a general walks in the room? Exactly. And that's not sitting down, is it? It's attention, you say. Why? Because it's a sign of respect for that authority. What happens when we have a wedding? And everybody's sitting there and the wedding music starts and the bride starts coming down the aisle. What happens? Everybody stands. You see? Because standing is a sign of respect. You see? It is a sign of respect. And so, when we think about the idea of standing when we're praying, what that says is, and has throughout biblical times been used as a sign of respect for the one to whom we are praying. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you remember the story of Hannah. It's interesting that the Bible there tells us beginning in verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And then it goes on to tell us about the prayer that she offered to the Lord. But it's interesting to me that specifically the Scriptures tell us that she stood up before she offered that prayer. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, Jesus tells a story of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Okay? And notice the wording that Jesus uses as he tells that story. He says, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. But the tax collector stood at a distance. You see? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus himself said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So you see, there's lots of, this is just a few of the examples that we find in the Scriptures where standing is mentioned when folks were praying. That it was understood that was a common custom. because it was understood as a sign of respect to Almighty God when one was offering prayers. Also during the scripture reading. Why? Because as we've been seeing through our study on prayer, praying the scriptures, that when we are praying, we're talking to God, and when we're hearing the scriptures, He's talking to us, right? So this is communication. And we find in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 34, when the covenant was renewed at Ebal, the people stood for the reading of the law. And in Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, when Ezra read from the book of the law after it had been found, the people stood and listened while the book of the law was read. The whole book of the law, you see. And they stood for the reading of God's Word. And so, hopefully from this, we get a better understanding scripturally of the idea of why sometimes it's good for us to stand when we're praying to God. Okay? Notice I said sometimes. Doesn't mean always. There's also a couple of scripture text examples that we find where folks were sitting when they were praying. And so sitting is okay too, you see. But again, we got to go back and think about what is on our minds. For instance, in 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, King David, right after he became the king, he went in and sat before the Lord, and he prayed, the Bible tells us. Jesus, at the Last Supper, was reclined at the table with his disciples when he gave thanks for the bread and the fruit of the vine. Okay. So again, keep in mind, you know, it's not that we're, you know, there's any kind of a hard fast rule. Says every time we pray, we got to stand. No, we just want to focus on what are some attitudes about this, and do we understand the importance of what we're saying to the Lord when we're just content to sit there, say, and not really think a whole lot about what we're doing. But rather to extend to God a sign of respect and authority. That sometimes we stand together or we stand on our own and we offer our prayers to God. Well, then there's this other part that has to do with kneeling and lifting hands. Okay, bended knees and lifted hands. And boy, don't we get, some of you, I can hear, oh, here we go. Going to get radical on us. Because we don't do that kind of stuff in the Church of Christ, do we? You know, get down on our knees and pray and then, you know, start lifting hands. You know, we got to be careful of that because the next thing you know, people are going to start jumping pews and stuff. You see? And so we got to be real careful. So we tend to just kind of avoid all that kind of stuff. It makes it a whole lot easier, doesn't it, if we just don't do it? Well, I think it's more scriptural if we go and look at what the Bible says about it and we do what the Scriptures instruct us to do. And that might help us to get out of our comfort zones. In Psalm that Charlie read for us as we began, Psalm 95 and verse 6. The psalmist there says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Did you realize in Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus, when he went to the garden to pray, he fell to the ground and prayed to the Father. In Luke, chapter 22, verse 41, Luke's account of Jesus praying in the garden, he specifically says Jesus knelt down and prayed. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, you know, Daniel got in trouble because he was kneeling in prayer, okay? When those who wanted to get rid of Daniel kind of set a trap for him and got the king to make a decree that no one was allowed to pray to anyone, any other god, except their God. Daniel, when he heard about the decree, chapter 6 and verse 10, had when that decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward heaven, toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. We know what happened to Daniel, right? Yeah. Threw him in the lion's den. Okay? Of course, the Lord answered his prayers there too, right? Amen. Okay. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, Peter went to the home of Tabitha or Dorcas to heal her. He went into her room, the scriptures say, and he got down on his knees and he prayed. So we find a lot of biblical examples here, you know, where kneeling, you know, was an important part of the prayer experience. See, we find sometimes people were standing, sometimes people were kneeling. Okay? Sometimes people were sitting. So all of those forms of prayer are acceptable before God. They send a message about the prayer to the one being prayed to. Well, what about this lifting holy hands? You know, there's that one verse that just, boy, we sure sometimes wish that wasn't there. It'd be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? You know? But it is there. Okay? It is there. And we've got to stop acting like it's not there. Okay? And stop sitting on our hands. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody has to lift your holy hands in prayer. Okay? But Paul did say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Now, we need to understand something. Just like the message that standing brings, and kneeling also, by the way, okay, a sign of respect. Lifting up holy hands or lifting up hands denotes supplication or asking. And it was a common practice of people in biblical times that when they prayed, they raised their hands toward heaven. Because that's where they wanted their prayers to go to. So when Paul gives that instruction, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. I don't think that Paul's intention there is for every time you pray, he expects us to lift up our hands. I don't think that's his point. But again, it has to do with our attitude and our approach to God as we pray. You see, do we recognize what we're doing or are we just saying some words? Do we recognize who it is that we're talking to? And so the idea here is that, you know, if you want to kneel in prayer, and even when we're worshiping, now, you know, we recognize this building, the way these pews are, is not set up, you know, to really make it great for kneeling, okay? There's not a whole lot of room, but there is some. And if you want to kneel, if you want to come out in the aisle and get down on your knees and pray, if the Spirit so moves you, we're saying, go ahead. Do it. If that's what the Spirit is moving you to do, do it. If you feel like the Spirit moving you to lift up your hands in prayer to God, then do it. You say. Because those are acceptable ways of communicating to God. The psalmist wrote in 28 and verse 2, hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. In Psalm 63 and verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. In Psalm 134, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Say, praying to God. And that's a symbol or a sign of supplication, saying, acknowledging God and asking Him to receive our prayers that we offer. But now all of this, all of this brings us to the point of it's not just simply about physically what we are doing when we're praying, whether we're standing, sitting, kneeling, lifting up hands or not, sitting on your hands, you know, whatever the case may be. It's not just simply about what we are doing physically at the time. It is an acknowledgement of what is on our heart and our mind. Okay? And the important thing there brings us to the last point on our study here is the posture of humility. See, if you stand to offer prayer to God but you don't do it in humility, then your prayer is worthless. If you lift up your hands, your holy hands in prayer to the Lord, and you don't do it in humility, then your prayer is worthless. If you kneel, and if you put pebbles under your knees and kneel so you'll suffer some, but you're not doing it out of humility, then your prayer is worthless. The text that we've looked at several different times along in our study because it's such a vitally important text. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." You see, prayer, first and foremost, is not about whether we're standing, sitting, kneeling, lifting up hands or not. It's about the condition of our heart. You see? And whether we come before God in whatever way we come before Him, that we do it in humility, that we humble ourselves before Him as we stand and pray, or as we lift up our hands, or as we kneel, or even as we sit, but that we humble ourselves before Him whenever we pray. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, after giving us this information that is so vitally important to our prayer lives, this information that he calls the armor of God, each one of these pieces that helps us in our spiritual warfare that we're fighting against every day, as we've talked about, he concludes that whole statement there about the armor that is available to us by saying this: pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So, whenever we are praying, we need to be praying in the Spirit for whatever it is that we are praying for. You see? On all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Whatever we're praying for, you see, whatever the occasion, whatever the reason, that we're praying in the Spirit. Okay? So, I hope that by looking at these things this morning, that we're able to get a little bit better idea of, you know, how important our posture is when we pray. What is the message that we're sending to God who we're praying to? Say, when we pray. And again, please understand, we're not trying to make some rules to say from now on, here's how we're going to do all these things and so forth. We are trying just to kind of stir people up, stir us all up, so that we'll think more about what we're doing. And it won't just be we're just kind of sitting here doing, going through the motions of doing the things that we're doing. Hopefully that will help us all in our prayer life. Whether we're praying together as a family or whether you're praying in private, okay, to think about your posture in your prayers. Make sure that it's humble. Maybe somebody here this morning is having some struggles in your life that you're battling with Satan over sin issues. I'm here to tell you right now, it's time for you to get rid of those. Okay? You can do that this morning, right now. If you're already a Christian and Satan is always working on us, no matter whether we're a Christian or not, he's never going to stop working on us to try to get us to turn our back on God. So if you're a Christian and maybe Satan is really doing some intense spiritual warfare with you and you're in some really heavy battles, you need some help, some guidance, you need some prayers, then let us know that. Let's pray with you. I'll be up here in the front and Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to have a private prayer and talk with Ted in the back there, then he'll be back there to receive you. If you'd like to share what's going on with the congregation and ask for congregational prayers, I'll be up here to receive you up here. If there's someone here this morning who's not a Christian, you've not given your life to Christ yet, understand that God is wanting you to be His. And what it takes is for you to acknowledge your sin, repent of that sin, to acknowledge Christ as your Lord and Savior, to confess Him as such, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. You can become a Christian. We've got water that's ready right behind me. You can be baptized into Christ right now if you're ready to make that commitment in your relationship. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we have what we call an invitation time. See? And Steve, where'd you go? Okay. Steve is going to come up and lead us in the song. And we use this as an invitation. And if there's anything that we can do to help you with wherever you are right now in your spiritual life, all you got to do is come and let me know. And we'll do what we can. Let's stand together and sing.